by Charles D. Meigs, I think is how you say his name, M-E-I-G-S. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain. May efforts to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. Isn't that good? It's a good thing to be having in our hearts in this time. I mean, I don't think there's a bad time to have that in our hearts, but especially in this time where there is division and distance between opinions that is, I don't think has ever been more distant or more vile in its connection, if that makes sense. Do we have this in our heart? And where does this thought of others come from? But this thought comes from Christ. And where does my value for others come from? But it comes from Christ. And where does my understanding of what I am and who I am come from? It comes from Christ. And when I have that, I have peace. And when I have that, I have something to bring to the conversation. I have a patience and a kindness and a conviction to bring to any conversation. So I encourage you to have conversations this week and engage with people, but also have this running through and have this be the vein of it all, of Christ crucified and of his life lived for others. And then the life he's given for you is given for others. We pray for our country. Here we go. Here we go. We're another week into what is happening, and we are broken by it, and we are maybe confused by it, but also we are not confused by the message that we have in Christ. Open with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, we're going to talk about being thirsty, of which I am. There are a lot of thirsty people in the world. We see it daily, right? I'm not talking about now, although we see it pretty clear, but always, this is the way it has always been. And this is why Christ speaks so clearly to those who are thirsty. And then if you look biblically, the issue of thirst has always been addressed in the scripture. And then it's always been, a lot of times it's connected with the Holy Spirit. And that we read in the Old Testament that there are times where the Holy Spirit is promised. And the intimation of him, the idea of his coming is given and is connected with thirst. We read here in John 7, starting verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. You can read about it in Numbers or Leviticus chapter 23. You can read about it. It's all through Deuteronomy also. And then also Nehemiah chapter 9. They celebrate this feast. And it's 7 days long, and then there's an eighth day. It's interesting. When Moses talks about it, he says it's 7 days long. But then he says on the eighth day, there's a holy convocation. And when Nehemiah kept it in the book of Nehemiah, it was a month long. He said, let's just keep this party going. This is good. And so Jesus is here. Remember, he showed up a little late to the feast. And then now he is here at the last day, the great day of the feast. And during this feast, the tradition was adapted, where they would, every day they would go down to the pool of Siloam and they would take a brazen brass laver and they would get the water from the well, and then they would bring it to the water and they would mix it with the wine, and it would be a drink offering to the Lord. And you read about that in the book of Deuteronomy. It talks about every day in this feast, there is a drink offering that is given. So when Christ is talking about water here, he is not taking it out of a vacuum, but he is connecting it to the feast and seeing people watching and participating in these sacrifices, but also recognizing the thirst that remains in their lives. That we as people are not looking for something that is temporary, but we are looking for permanent things in our life. Marriage is a beautiful thing. And marriage, in our understanding, is permanent. That it is some vow that we make together to each other, and we make it before God, and we make it before everybody who is with us, like we will on Thursday. This Thursday, whoa, butterflies. And this is a statement made, and it is meaning that we are understanding the permanence of this relationship. And Avery and Lucas just got married in May, right? May 7th. Congratulations. And we love the permanence of this relationship. And when we look at marriage in our lives, a lot of us have an idea of what it is based on what we have seen. And some it hasn't worked out. Right? This is not a hidden fact that there's a divorce rate in the world at 50%. And then even in the church, maybe it's just as high. And that breaks my heart. But God is faithful to give us people in our lives that we can look to and we can say that's a marriage. There is permanence there. There is commitment to one another. There is faithfulness there. There is love there. There is difficulty. There is sandpaper rubbing up against your face sometimes. But there is permanence because of the faithfulness of God. And if your understanding of marriage has been a broken marriage, in your own personal life or in your parents' life or maybe in your family, and you say, everybody in my family is divorced, that's okay. Because there are other people that we can look to, like Pastor Doug and Beth Womble, Carlos and Melissa, Chris and Cindy, okay? Sal and Alessandra, if you're really risking it. And on and on, Pastor Mark and Stephanie, and there are amazing couples in our church, and they have a beautiful marriage. You can look to it, and you can see the permanence of the relationship. But also, when we look at our friends, we don't want to just have friends for the sake of having friends, but we are looking for relationships, and we want those relationships to last. Why is that? Well, I mean, we don't want the turnover. But also, there is a reflection in us of God. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And He has given us this understanding. And He has given us this hunger for permanence and security. That's why His salvation is so sure. That's why His salvation is so complete. Because He hasn't come to us to save us temporarily, or to save us until the next time we fail, or to save us until He finds someone better. But He came to save us, and He says it in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, that He has obtained what? Our eternal redemption. Can you get more permanent than eternity? That's a funny thought, because it connects time and eternity. But anyway, you can't. He has done it. And this is what He has come to give us. So when He is here at this feast and He is looking at the temporary nature of the sacrifice and He is looking at the thirst that is there in people's lives, it moves Him. God moves Him. We see in this chapter of John 7, more than any other chapter, I believe, we see the leading of God in the life of Jesus. The dependence on the Father and the earthly life of Jesus, to the point where He wouldn't go to the feast without the moving of God. And now we see Him standing up and speaking and motioning towards Himself to say something. The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. So Christ here is standing up and he is saying, in essence, that there is a temporality. There is a temporary nature of what is happening in this scene that is being played out. That there is something that will end in this, and that there is when you make the sacrifice, you feel like you have done something right and you feel like everything is okay. But then how far do you go before that feeling dissipates? How far do you go before the hunger is back? How far do you go before the thirst returns? When you drink a cup of water, do you say, man, that was good. I'll look forward to doing that in another year. No, naturally we thirst and we go back to the water. We go back to it and we continue to drink. Christ spoke this way to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, didn't he? He says, you come to this well and you will continue to come to this well because it is a temporary satisfaction. He says, but I will give you living water, and if you drink that water, you will never thirst again. And he actually said it in verse 14, John 4:14, that this water will be welling up inside of you and will be a spring of eternal life. What was her response? Oh, give me this water. Give me this water so I don't have to come back to this well. Give me this water so I don't have to be reminded of the temporary nature of my life. Give me this water so I don't have to be confronted with the faults of my life. Here we see it again. And Christ says it. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Come to me. That I am here and I am able and I will give you something that you cannot find anywhere else. I will give you a permanence and I will give you a security that you can't find anywhere. There isn't a well anywhere where you can draw this water. Like Gene, he only drinks Evian water from the Swiss Alps. His palate is so refined. Poland Springs is, Evian. The finest, the purest springs, right? There are a lot of springs in this world that are bubbling up. And we can spend a lot of time drawing from them, but we will have to continue. It doesn't matter how fine the water, or how refreshing, that my soul will again be thirsty. It's looking for something greater to rest in. And Christ here is not timid. Christ here is not anxious. But Christ here speaks clearly and he says, I see it in you. I know it about you. I see you practicing the things and celebrating this, but let me tell you that it is only pointing to me. That there is a temporary nature of this thing, and it is designed by God, but it is not the permanent thing. I am the permanent thing. I am the one, and you are all welcome to come to me. Come to me and take your draught from me. Come to me and drink freely, it says in Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 1. It says, ho! Standing up at the feast, all you who thirst, come unto me, and I will give you something different. I will give you living water. How do we receive this living water? Christ says it right there, he who believes in me. That's it. He who believes in me, he who dances for me, he who sings for me, he who works for me, he who is burdened for me. No, he who believes in me. The burden is mine. The work is mine. The dance is Christ. The song is his. Will you believe in me? And if you believe in me, then I will give you this water. It says in Isaiah 12:13, come. And drink, draw freely from the wells of salvation. Oh, he says, come with joy and draw freely from the wells of salvation. Oh, what a beautiful idea. Come with joy. Don't come with condemnation. Don't come with doubt. Don't come with insecurity. Don't come with shame. But come with joy, knowing that Christ has done everything necessary, and he is the one who has opened the path for you to come to this well, and he is the one cheering you on and encouraging you and drawing you to this well. And he is saying, with joy, I want you to take it and throw that bucket down there and draw up and continue to draw up, because your salvation is that deep. Your salvation is that permanent. Your salvation is that secure because it is my work. Isn't that great that we can think about that in our own lives? At what point were you thirsty? At what point were you like in a desert? Like it says about Jacob, he was in a waste howling wilderness. How about that description? A waste howling wilderness. Have you ever felt like you've been in that place? You're dry, right? The sun's beating down on you, right? Just sizzling. This is when my son Noah got sunburned the other day. He's just, he's like, he's puffy. He's just like, eh. He's so, we put sunscreen on him 12 times a day. He's still red as a tomato, right? But have you felt that way, like sunburned and beet red and just dried out, just like, oh, where is there any hope? Oh. This is where Christ has met every single one of us. Whether you wanted to or not, like C.S. Lewis, he said, I was the most reluctant convert. That it wasn't that he was driven to salvation, but the reason led him to salvation. He says, as much as in me, I don't want to believe this, but I am compelled to because it's truth and I respect the truth. And then he became an amazing believer. But then in our own lives, we've been there. My own testimony, I've been there. And you are in a point in your life and you cry out to God and you say, I don't know anything that could change the situation. I don't know anything that could affect my palate. I don't know anything that could refresh me right now. And then Christ comes in and he could say, I have an idea. I have an idea. Do you trust me? Will you believe me? Because sometimes we look at the circumstances that lead us to the feet of Jesus and we say, that's terrible. Oh man, not that. That's difficult. That's hard. I don't want to go through that. But then when we see and when we are refreshed and when we believe in Christ, then all of that stuff is an answer to prayer. All of the difficulty, all of the thirst, all of the hardness in life is leading me to the feet of Jesus where I am refreshed and I find permanence, and that permanence answers all of those things. And we can find ourselves rejoicing in the things that God has done and the providence of God and the wisdom of God and the understanding of God leading us to take a drink from Him. Do you remember your salvation? Do you remember being saved? Were you 5 years old in Sunday school? Were you 25 years old, 30, 40, 50 years old? At some point, there was an understanding that you were thirsty. And nothing else could satisfy. No chemical could satisfy. No substance can satisfy. No relationship could satisfy. No car could satisfy. No work, no amount of money could satisfy. Only Christ can. And He is there and He has been there throughout the Bible, throughout history, throughout our lives, through this current time. And He is there saying, whoa! Whoever is thirsty. Whoever is thirsty. Whoever, we like to legislate, we like to determine, we like to look out and we say, that guy's thirsty, that guy's thirsty, that guy could never be thirsty. But the reality is, everybody has this thirst. And when we put our faith in Christ, we are saved. And hallelujah, He never leaves us, He never forsakes us. And He leads us like our shepherd, faithfully leading us through everything, through the joy, right? Do you remember the joy of your salvation? David wrote a psalm about it, didn't he? Oh, don't let me forget the joy of my salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Remember it. Remember it. Mark it down. It's a landmark in your life where you felt the joy of salvation. And don't let anybody distract you from it. Don't let anybody put that into a murky reminder. But set it up like an altar, like Isaac did, like Abraham did. And say, this is my salvation. Not that I worship that time, but that I recognize the work of God in my life. And I go back to it and I'm refreshed by it. I'm thankful for it. Because as we walk by faith, we will go through times where we will be thirsty. We'll go through times in our mission and in our work and in our marriage and in our relationships and in our in whatever God has called us to do, and we will just be thirsty, right? Thirsty and looking for something. But that's when we look at this verse and this statement of Christ, that those who believe in me, those who believe in me, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. And he's talking about something very specific. He's not talking about something mystical. He's not talking about some weird thing, but he's talking about the life of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And to this point, nobody would know what he's talking about, so he just kind of floats it out there. And then later on, they will realize it. But we understand it differently as believers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians 4:30. Oh my goodness, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Until when? Until the day of redemption. Until I am there standing face to face with Christ. Up until that point, the Holy Spirit is abiding in me. And He is speaking to me, and He is refreshing me, and He is reminding me of the love of God, like Romans 5:5. The work of the Holy Spirit is to spread abroad the love of Christ in my heart. Christ is saying here that out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. It says in King James, it says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. It doesn't make sense. What does that mean? It means the deepest part of you, the depth of you, who you really are, that Christ is able to satisfy you to the depth of you, that He doesn't stop short. He doesn't stop in the temporary part of me, in my body. He doesn't just say, I will refresh your body, because actually, maybe our bodies aren't refreshed. And it could be our prayer, Lord, you could refresh my body at any point. I'd love to have hair like Pedro, right? Refresh me. Or our prayer could be, right? Refresh my back, my hips, my neck, take the cancer. All of this prayer is there, but that is not the promise that He's speaking about. The promise that He's speaking about goes deeper into the deepest part of me, the part of me that is designed in the image and likeness of God, and the part of me that feeds who I really am, the spiritual man. There the Holy Spirit dwells, and He is reminding me of who I am, and He is reminding me of who Christ is, and He is reminding me of my salvation, and it is bubbling up inside of me, and it feeds my life. It motivates me. And you know what else it does? It finds its way out of me, and it goes to other people. It makes a statement in the world. And Proverbs 25:25 says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a distant country. Like cold water to a thirsty soul. We have the ability to deliver cold water to thirsty souls. We do. And it's good news from a far country. And what is that far country? It is eternity. It is where Christ is seated. And it is where He is speaking to me, and how the Holy Spirit is reminding me of things, and He is leading me into great life. Remember last week we spoke about righteousness and holiness. That we don't want to get dragged down into the conversation of goodness and badness, of right and wrong, but we want to have the conversation of righteousness and holiness. And in Christianity, and in we could say churchianity, right? It's easy for us to get into the comparison game and talk about who is right, who is wrong, what is right, what is wrong, who's good, who's bad. Carlos is good. Look at it. He's got a lanyard on. He must be good, right? Along with Tony and Jordan, they are good. Man, oh, if only I had a lanyard on, that would mean I am somebody in the church. Whoa, man, they are good. Where am I going with this? I don't know. But then we also look at people and we say, well, you're bad. You're not in church. You're bad. Right? Ooh, careful. Careful. Who are you? But for the grace of God. But for the refreshing work of the Holy Spirit in your own life. You are just as susceptible to any of this stuff. That we are like the hunger, the thirsty soul is looking to be filled. And if I for a day or a time leave my the source of my refreshment, I can look to other springs. And it's so easy for any one of us to fail because we have this human nature that is like just looking, looking and looking for satisfaction. But we won't find it out there. We won't. We won't find it. We will find more thirst. We'll be like the prodigal son. What did he do? He said, I got it. Look at that. I got it now. I got the answer. Where did he find himself? Thirsty in a pig pen. But you know what? He was refreshed at the reminder of his father. And you know how it was refreshed? Even though it wasn't the right idea of who his father was, he had no idea how gracious his father was. He had no idea how loving his father was. The reminder of his father led him back, and then he was allowed to be overwhelmed by the grace of God. What a source of life. Can I get over my concepts of good and bad? Can I get over it and meet God in holiness? And be fed in my spiritual man and understand that it's not, that God is not measuring things. He has finished everything. And He is saying so clearly, come unto me, come unto me. And we say, I'm sorry, I just stepped in something, I can't come to you. And He said, I have taken care of it, I have dealt with it, I have washed it away. If you will believe in me, I will refresh you and I will lead you in righteousness. Do you believe me? And we say, I'll believe you when I'm worthy to. I'll believe you when I get my act together. I'll believe you when I get over this. He says, no, your way to get over this is by coming to me. That's what I'm trying to say. I am your source. I am your life. If you will believe on me, we've believed. And then in our faith, in our experience of our Christianity, we don't want to live in death. I don't want to rest in death. I have been delivered unto life. Don't rest in death. In your faith as a Christian, don't look at yourself any other way but complete in Christ. And don't allow any excuse to creep in that would keep you from coming to Him and hearing from Him and receiving from Him and being refreshed by Him, because it's everything that He wants to do. Come and draw with joy. Come with joy and draw from the wells of salvation. Oh. Like the judge, yeah, okay, we got it. Like He's not there. He's not there analyzing and watching my steps. You know, when David, okay, that's not good. Okay, I got a lot going on right now, right? But he is not watching and measuring and saying, okay, yeah, he looks good, okay, he can come to me. No, he is encouraging me and he is cheering me on and he is there saying, come to me, come with joy, come boldly, come by faith, come based on the cross, come based on my love, come based on my resources for you. And we do that. And we just keep coming by faith, and we keep coming and allowing the Holy Spirit to continue His work of renovation in our hearts. And the amazing thing is that we then will be people who have the ability to give life to other people. What a humbling thought. That I could speak life to somebody else. I was thinking of a man this morning as I was driving in. His name is Pastor Dan Lightsey. Does anybody know Pastor Dan Lightsey? I mean, he is amazing. Amazing. He's got to write a book. I think he has multiple. But anyway, his testimony. I know, but I mean his life story. He's a poet. He's had poetry. He wrote a manual on overcoming addiction, Grace Overcomers. Amazing life work. But years, 20 years maybe, addicted, in and out of prison. Travel, crazy stories down in Louisiana doing whatever, right? Just crazy stories. And he was an important man in my life, where I would meet with him every Thursday at a place called Cactus Willie's. Has anybody ever heard of Cactus Willie's? Does that exist up here? No. I don't know if it exists at all anymore, but it was like a buffet place. All you like Golden Corral. Anybody know what a Golden Corral is? Okay, there we go. We would meet there every Thursday, and he, you know, At first, I didn't want to, really, because my parents set it up. And they would say, you're going to meet with Pastor. I'm like, who the heck is Pastor Lights? And what? And I said, is this guy, he's broken down by life, and he was an older gentleman. He's alive today still. He's struggling and fighting cancer, but he's amazing. And he would just, hey. I'm like, who is this guy, you know? And he pulls up his sleeves, and he's got the tattoos and the scars of life, and he just starts telling me his story. And I just, But then he would speak life to me. Faith statements. And I'm not talking about anything where we infuse life to other people, but what I'm talking about is that I declare the things that Christ has done for me, and I speak freely about the love of Christ, and I give my testimony, and I talk about it, and I become a well. That life is coming out of me, not because I am anybody in particular, but because I have built my life on Christ. And I have allowed Him to work through me. And I become, so He did that to me. And I love that. I love that man. And the stories that He would tell and the verses He would give me. And I was thinking this morning, trying to remember particular conversations, and I don't remember them. But I remember his attitude towards me. I remember his heart for me. And I remember the testimony that he had. And it so encouraged me. And we could say, well, that's good for Pastor Dan Lightsey. He's a pastor. He's got a book. No, that's every single one of us. Every one of us who believes has the ability to be a source of life for people. It could even be with ice cream sandwiches. I just couldn't help myself, right? It could be. I don't know how many we gave away. We have to determine how many are gone, and then we have to factor in how many I ate, how many Noah ate, how many Tonita ate, and then we think we gave away 3. But I become a source of life for other people. This is not by mistake, but this is by design. This is the way that God intended things to be. This is why He departed. This is why He ascended, so that He could be in heaven and He could be my security in heaven, my anchor in a holy place, my nail within the veil, that He is there for me and I am here as a representative of Him. And I allow that reality to come into my conversations. And I have opinions. We all have opinions. It's great to have opinions. But don't let your opinions be bigger than the life of God coming out of you. Because you could steamroll people with your opinions. And is that what we are called for? Was that what God has given us these platforms for? Not at all. And you are free, absolutely. I'm not saying there's rules for this kind of thing. I'm saying you are free. But remember this poem. And then remember the life of God that has been put in you and who you are representing, that you are representing Christ. And you have the ability to give life to people. Why wouldn't we want to give people life instead of death? Oh, death's no good. We don't want it. We don't want to see it. The hope of the Christian is that we will not taste death. The expectation is we won't taste death. We're going to be raptured. Oh my goodness, that's going to be crazy. And if not, we're going to pass away, and before we pass, the body is absent with the body and present with the Lord. I like to think that we don't feel the transition, we don't experience the difficulty in between, but that's over and that's begun. And that will never end. That's the reality that we have. This is what the Holy Spirit is stirring up inside of us. When we are faced with the thirst for life, He says, comfort one another with these words that you will ever be with the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4. Comfort one another with these words. Why? Because we need refreshment in this life. We need it. And the church, hallelujah, look at us all here. This is so much fun, right? I had stuffed animals here a few months ago, and now I have real people. This is so much better, right? The church is this place. The church, how do we look at the church? Do we look at the church as a place where we value one another, we love one another, and we anticipate the life that we can give and receive from one another? It's beautiful. It's so necessary. And what I love about our church is that it comes from everywhere. It's everywhere. The youth group's involved with the normal people. And the normal people are involved with the youth group. Right? No, and the house ministry is here. And like everybody, we are together. We go on outreach. We pray together. But we are together. We are one church. We are one people. And every one of us has this life. And every one of us has this ability to communicate life to other people. So let's be in that idea. Where does it start? It starts by putting my faith in Christ. But then it goes on. It goes on from there to recognize that when I am thirsty, where do I go? What message will I listen to when I am thirsty? What spring will I go to when I am thirsty? Christ is living in me. The Holy Spirit is in there and He is saying, hey, come and drink freely. Look at the very end of the Bible. Look what it says. Turn with me to Revelation in closing. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Then He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, it is done. It is done. Remember that song? It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Yeah, okay. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Can you get more permanent? Can you be more solid? Can you be more legitimate? Christ is. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and I am the one. Christ is the one standing there in John chapter 7 as the Alpha and the Omega, as the beginning and the end, as the faithful and true witness. And He is saying, come to me. Come to me, not for measurement, not for judgment, but for refreshment, for life. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Hallelujah. I will give to him freely. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Okay, 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. This is the message. This is the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is leading us in the reality of the gospel. And He is producing in us life. Not life for ourselves, strictly, it is for us, but also life to be spilled out to other people. And then we can give a different answer. We have a different spirit. We have a different message. And that's it. That's it. We could say the whole thing is division. The whole thing is separated by all of this stuff. And the only thing that can bring anything together is Christ. And oh my gosh, He can. Oh my gosh, He can. Will we be refreshed? Will you and I be refreshed by this reality and encouraged by it and moving in it and allowing it to move through us? I believe. Amen. Lord, thank you for this call. Thank you for this fountain that we freely drink from. Lord, if there's anybody here who's never believed in Jesus, you've never put your faith in Him, you've never been refreshed by His waters, just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my heart and save me. Deliver me. Give me the gift of eternal life. And if you've said that prayer this morning, just raise your hand and pray with you. Okay. Lord, bless our fellowship today and our meditation through this week, that you would lead us in this reality. Help us to come to this well. Help us not to be distracted by every other spring that's popping up in the world, but that we would be drawn to you, Lord, and we would receive from you, be refreshed by you, and that you would help us be a source of life to other people as we communicate your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.